Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of life. Thank God for the truth of the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. So we've been studying remission of sins. And then right now in the series, we're examining again what salvation is not. Hallelujah. I know we touched briefly on this at the beginning of the series, just briefly. And then right now, but we want to really dwell on this. Before we get back to metaphors for salvation, there are a few more things to study in that particular study, metaphors for salvation. So in this study, remission of sins, we've had many studies. Hallelujah. But it's the same salvation. No wonder the Bible calls it so great salvation. Hallelujah. Because there are many things involved. There are many things in it. There are many things. There are many aspects of the same truth. So at the moment, we are studying what salvation is not. And one of the things I've learned as a preacher is to not rely on my senses, is to not follow just my mind, my schedule, and the things I've outlined. I like to always follow the leading of Spirit. Perhaps this is going to be very timely for someone today. By the way, this broadcast is going to be very short because I need to rest. Hallelujah. I need to take some rest. We'll resume tomorrow, normal, timing. So just bear with it. Short podcast, maybe some 17, 20 minutes or so. And then I'm going to really rest. Not like I'm sick. I'm just tired because of numerous activities I've, given myself to in the course of the week. Numerous activities. So I'm going to rest and be back fully for the teaching tomorrow. Glory to God. So, what salvation is not? We started yesterday by saying how that salvation is not refraining from sin. Salvation is not trying to stop sinning. Glory to Jesus. The idea of I want to be saved because I want to stop sinning because I need to be saved. It's not scriptural. Hallelujah. Salvation is referred to as something that happens by the power of God. Once upon a time, the disciples of Jesus asked him, after Jesus had said, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So they looked at him in amazement. They were amused and said, who then can be saved? Jesus looked straight into their eyes and said, well, maybe not into their eyes because I wasn't there. But Jesus looked at them and then he said to them, with man this is impossible, but with God, hallelujah. With man this is impossible, but with God, hallelujah. With God, all things are possible. With man, this is impossible, but with God. I'm emphasizing that because Jesus is not saying it's difficult for man to attain unto salvation. He says it is impossible. That is, forget it. You can't attain it. You can't get it. There's nothing you'll be able to do. There's nothing in you that would help you achieve salvation. You don't have the capacity for it. Hallelujah. So John 1, 12 says, we were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. We are not born again by our will. We are not born again by self-effort. So because there's nothing in human ability, there's nothing in the flesh that would help you achieve salvation or attain unto salvation. Glory to God. John 1, 13, verse 12 says, to as many as believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Verse 13 now says, who were born not of the will of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of flesh, but of God. So there is nothing in us that can produce salvation. Hallelujah. I've seen believers say, my greatest achievement in life is the salvation of my soul. That's not your achievement, that's the achievement of Christ. Because you did not save yourself. So you can't claim that as your achievement. Your achievement is what you did. Your achievement is what you worked for, what you labored for. That is not your achievement. Salvation is the achievement and the attainment of Christ alone. Glory to Jesus. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Glory to God. So salvation is not refraining from sin. It is not trying to stop sinning. Salvation is the work of Christ. Isaiah 53. Look at this now. I'll read from verse 10. The Bible says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you shall make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. Have you seen? He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Have you seen? He calls it the labor of his soul. Bible at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us. Bible says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he says Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. That's the same thing Isaiah is saying in a different way. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. There was a reason why Jesus died. And so the product of his sacrifice cannot be attributed to man's effort. Jesus died to produce salvation, to provide salvation for humanity. That's why he's called the captain of salvation. Hallelujah. The captain of our salvation. The author and the finisher of faith. So salvation is not a result of any man's effort. It is the product of the work of Christ. Glory be to Jesus. Salvation is the product of the work of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at this. The Bible calls it the power of God. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 1, 16 to 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. The gospel is called the power of God unto salvation. The Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For indeed the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Glory to God. So you see that it calls the gospel the power of God to save. It is not man's ability or man's effort. It is God's power. Hallelujah. God's power. It is God's ability. It is God's power. It is God alone that is able to save. Glory be to Jesus. So we can't be preaching a refraining or a restraining oneself from sinning as salvation. We must fix our gaze on the Savior. As a matter of fact, that's why he's called the Savior. Glory be to Jesus. So salvation is not the product of what we do. It's a product of what Christ has done. Hallelujah. Look at, you know, he calls the gospel the power of God to salvation. What is that gospel? 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 24. What exactly is that gospel? It is focused on Christ, what he has done. It's focused on the message of the cross. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 to 24. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Have you seen again? The message of the cross is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where's the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Have you seen? Christ crucified is the message that saves those who believe. Bible refers to it as the foolishness of the message preached. Not that the message of Christ is foolishness. Hallelujah. Not that it is foolish. It is just a manner of speaking. It's a manner of speaking. Because natural men consider the message to be foolish. So Paul says, that thing you consider foolish is what saves. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because the gospel is not the foolishness of God. The gospel is the wisdom of God. Glory be to God. But to men, it is foolishness. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness to him. They are foolishness to him. The things of the Spirit are not foolishness in themselves. They are foolishness to the man that does not receive them. Bible says, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. So the things of the Spirit are not foolish. The gospel is not foolishness. The gospel is the wisdom of God, but it is foolishness to them that reject it. Hallelujah. So the gospel that saves, that Paul refers to as the power of God unto salvation, is the message of the cross. Is what Paul refers to as the message of the cross. What he refers to as Christ crucified at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 to 24. Same thing he says at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech, of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything amongst you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, hallelujah. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So the gospel is called the power of God. Christ and Him crucified is called the power of God. And this power of God is what saves. Hallelujah. This message is what brings salvation. Not a change of conduct. Not a moral modification. Not a change of your lifestyle. Not trying to refrain from sin. Not promising God that you won't do it again. No. What saves is receiving the message of the gospel. Receiving the message of Christ and Him crucified. Which is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. The power of God unto salvation. At 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6, the Bible refers to it as the wisdom of God spoken amongst those who are mature. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The Bible refers to the message of the cross as the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. This is what saves. Glory be to God. This is what saves. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. We see one more scripture. And then I will explain the phrase, go and sin no more. And then close. 1 Corinthians, glory be to Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. The gospel that saves is focused on what Jesus did. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And what is this gospel? Change your ways. Don't sin again. Make sure you do your best to not commit sin. That's not it. It says, I deliver to you first of all, verse 3, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Christ died for our sins. Hallelujah. Christ died for our sins. So, the gospel is not refrain from sin. It is Christ died for our sins. It is too late to be preaching refrain from sin because all have sinned. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 24. Being justified freely by His grace which is in Christ Jesus. So, it is too late to be preaching, let's refrain from sin so we can be saved, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Refraining from sin will not restore to you the glory of God because you've already fallen short of it. The only place the glory of God is restored to man and given to man is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. It's in Christ we obtain the glory of God. Hallelujah. So I deliver to you that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. But some are fallen asleep. That is, you can go and ask them. Over 500 people in Jerusalem at the time. You can go and check. Just go and check the facts. If one person is hallucinating, you can't accuse over 500 brethren of the same thing. They all couldn't have been hallucinating at the same time. One says, I saw Jesus. I saw Him rise again. Another one says, I saw Him. And then over 500 people will come and be saying they saw Jesus, even though He didn't rise again from the dead. The reason why they saw Him was because, the reason why they claim to have seen Him is because they all saw Him actually. Glory be to God. You can't say Jesus was able to convince few people to believe that he really rose again from the dead. This is over 500 brethren. Glory to God. Bible says it's a testimony in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Testimony of two or three witnesses. Every word is established. Now we have over 500 brethren. Jesus indeed rose again from the dead. And in His death and resurrection, we are found what? Justification of life. We have found salvation. So the spotlight cannot be on the sinner. The spotlight is on the Savior. Hallelujah. The pressure is not on the sinner or now the sinner should do something. The spotlight is on Christ and what He has done is the Savior. Glory be to God. Look at Matthew 1 verse 21. Let's see this again. That there's a reason why Jesus is called the Savior of the world. Matthew 1, 21. Glory to God. Look at this. Matthew 1, 21. Bible says, and you shall call His name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. His people won't save themselves from their sins. It's him, the Savior, called Jesus, that will save his people from their sins. So we can't be talking about salvation and be putting attention on the people that are in need of salvation. We can't be talking about salvation and be putting the work on the people that need to be saved. The work is the work of the Savior. Hallelujah. He shall save his people from their sins. Glory be to God. So what then did Jesus mean when he said, go and sin no more? Isn't that one of the criteria for being saved? Hallelujah. You find people preach false gospels, gospels that are not gospels, bombard people, scare them with hell, bully them, load them down with a lot of do's and don'ts and all that. And then people rush out to the altar to say, ah, finally, I'm surrendering my all. I'm following Jesus. I'm receiving Jesus into my life. This Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. And then after all that, they say to them, go and sin no more. You know why? Because go and sin no more to them is one of the major ways to be saved or to remain saved. Hallelujah. But look at John chapter 8 as I close. John 8, glory to Jesus. They caught the woman in adultery, brought her to Jesus, tempting him, trying to find out his verdict, whether he was going to contradict Moses. That was their motive. From verse 3, the Bible says the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? That is, they are trying to pitch Jesus against Moses, knowing that Moses was the authority in the land. And if you dare contradict the words of Moses, you were to be stoned to death, according to the Jewish law. If you contradict the law of Moses, or you say something contrary to it, you deserve to be punished. So they said, this is what Moses has said. This is his verdict in the law. What are you saying? Hallelujah. This, they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Hallelujah. You see that Jesus said to the woman, go and sin no more, after offering her no condemnation. Grace to Jesus. After delivering her from condemnation, he said to her, go and sin no more. Of course, Jesus won't be telling anybody to go and continue in sin. And then that's not to be interpreted as go and sin no more, because if you sin next time now, I will condemn you. No, Jesus will never condemn as long as you keep trusting. As long as sinners keep coming to him, he will never condemn. Hallelujah. Knowing that at this point in time, it was not salvation. It was not that the woman was born again. So as long as sinners keep coming to Jesus, he won't condemn. Hallelujah. So it's more for our own good. Imagine her committing sin again and they catch her. You know, those guys were very mean. They were brutal. They were hypocrites. Brutal, judgmental. Glory to Jesus. So catching her again without Jesus around, they'll just quickly lynch her. I know. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. So salvation is not go and sin no more. This was said to a woman that was delivered from the judgment and the condemnation and the accusation, rather, the accusation of the Pharisees and the scribes. And Jesus delivered her from that and delivered her from the imminent condemnation. Because after the accusation, what they were going to do next was to condemn her. The condemnation was going to be physical, you know, stoning her to death. Glory to God. So this is not salvation. This is an instruction given to a woman that was delivered from the hands of men that were willing to destroy her because of her offense. Glory be to God. Do good to tune in tomorrow. I will continue our study on what salvation is not. Invite your friends, family members, relatives, colleagues, you know, take this seriously, put on your status, and let's come together to have a great time again in the Word of God. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, of being full of prayers, spiritual songs, being full of the Holy Ghost, and be a blessing to somebody by sharing the gospel with them. See you in the next episode.